So tonight we'll be jumping around a little bit. So it's kind of gonna be like tonight's kind of like it's basically gonna be like three different places, basically all connected. But I guess first where I want to start out at, just before I go into prayer, actually, I can mention the first place. So Acts chapter 9. But as I was thinking about, I love to tell the story about him. The reason why the story is so good to tell because it made a change in our lives.
Amen.
Because here's the thing, if anyone has an encounter with Jesus Christ and they get saved from it, they come out different.
Amen.
And I guess one of the psychology classes I've been taking, it's like positive psychology, so it's about how to have like a healthy life and stuff. And one of the things that they basically can't, they accept, but they can't really explain. Well, there's two, but the main part, like how this one contributes to people's happiness, would be what they call religion. And that's one of the things that they describe. So they basically say like anyone that practices any faith, that's what it leads to. But then there's another thing that they talk about, and it's called a quantum change. And so the quantum change has like four characteristics for it to be a quantum change. So one is distinctive. Two is surprise. It's a element of surprise, kind of like hit you from behind. Number three is it brings positive emotions. It's joyful. Number four, they call it permanence, which means no going back. And I started thinking about this. That term quantum change right there, the only thing I can see that would be a true quantum change would be an encounterment with Jesus Christ. Because think about it. You're going one path. You're living life in the world. You're walking in the world. And then drastic change in your life changes. And you think about it. And it also, the other thing is there's a permanence to it. There's a no going back. Because once we meet Jesus, there's no turning back. And there's some things that, I would say Christians that got saved and they were a lot more trapped in sin, that God just got them out of it. There was no going back to what they used to do, and it was changed. And then, it's kind of, I would say that element of surprise kind of hit us from behind. That conviction, we probably weren't expecting that conviction, but it hit us. And then the other thing is the positive emotions, the joyfulness. Because if you remember when you first got saved, it was a joyful experience. And this is, these are the things that, gets mentioned in this class. And, they're not going to point it to Jesus Christ, but, you start seeing it. They're basically telling you something. They're telling you that, they may deny the power of it, but Jesus Christ is really the way, because he brings that quantum change. That, think about all those elements, that distinctive, because you remember that moment you got saved, that surprise, the positive emotions, and there's no going back to that old sinful life. And then you start thinking about it. Sometimes it can be so tempting to go back, and for us, because once we get away from it for a while, we're out of the flesh, and then we start thinking, why don't we go back and do it like we used to? Because you obviously see there is that permanence, there is that no going back, because that's what an encounter with Jesus Christ does when your sins get forgiven, when you ask for the forgiveness of your sins. And I guess I'll just start out with prayer before I start out with the actual message I had in plan. And Jesus, just thank you for the opportunity to preach again, Lord. Just help me to honor you with it. Just help me to glorify you. Get me out of the way, Lord, and just Have me under the unction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and just help me to follow you and follow the direction you give. And Lord, just thank you for the service so far, and thank you for what's going to come out of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And so Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I'll stop right there for the first part. But so I just want to start out with, it's going to be a little bit of more centered towards Paul, this message will be. And so I guess the first thing to explain, so Saul, his name was Saul, and then later on it got changed to Paul. And, you know, Saul was a Christian persecutor. And, you know, what we see right here is Jesus Christ got a hold of his life.
Amen.
And, you know, Jesus Christ got a hold of it, and we see that he experienced a quantum change. It was a sudden dramatic change that transformed his life and awakened him.
Yeah.
Because it awakened him to the truth that, you know, all the things you were doing beforehand, all that stuff, killing Christians, was not what you were supposed to be doing. He got awakened. That was not what was honoring God. But he was supposed to be worshiping Jesus. And he got awakened to it. And then he had a transformation that we see if you jump down later in the chapter. And you see this in Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, have sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased them more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And, you know, you see Paul started out murdering Christians. And then you see that Paul's life experienced a drastic change. That Jesus Christ hit him head on, and he never was the same after that. And then we see that, you know, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. The sight that he lost when he was on his way to Damascus, it got restored to him. And guess what? There was joy in Paul's life because, you know, what I preached on last time in Paul's life, when Paul was in the prison many years after this happened, he was having joy because of his hope that he had in Jesus Christ. That's where his joy came from. And, you know, this is a moment of surprise, Paul. Paul didn't know that Jesus Christ was going to hit him. So guess what? So Saul experienced quantum change. And I believe, just like all of us, we have a story of quantum change. We have that story. You know, they may try to say the word quantum change and they describe it like that, but the only way you're going to have true quantum change in your life is an encounter with Jesus Christ. And the next thing, you know, then Paul got saved. You know, Paul starts preaching in the church, but Paul's life wasn't without challenges. And the next spot I want to take it to is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. You know, so Saul got his name changed to Paul. And, you know, Paul did not, it wasn't once he got saved. It was super easy. It was an easy walk. He never went through anything difficult. That's not what happened. You know, Paul faced persecutions. Paul faced many different things that happened to him. He faced many challenges.
That's right.
And yes, it's a joyful moment once we get saved, but when we're doing our walk with the Lord, there is going to be challenges.
Yeah.
Because one of the things we have to remember is there's an enemy, and the devil's going to do everything he can to try to get us off that path and going back in the wrong direction. And, you know, this is the challenge that Paul faced starting in verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And, you know, Paul had something. Like, because I do remember briefly, I preached more in depth about this before, but since this time it was more of a general thing, it's just, this is going to be more brief. But, you know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, or not like an actual thorn, but it was something that was happening in his life that was going on, and it was, you know, something that was buffeting him. It was a trial. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what it is that was the thorn, but the first thing you see is that Paul tried to get it removed. Paul tried to get it removed because he went to the Lord three times trying to get rid of it. And, you know, for us, this should obviously relate, because I think there's so many times, you know, we're going through something and the first thing we do is we want it gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to remove the difficulty. You know, I don't think it's really human nature for us to have to deal with difficulty all the time. And, you know, Paul didn't want to have to deal with this difficulty. He wanted it gone. And I think so many times in our life, we want the difficulty gone, and we don't want to have to deal with it. But there's a reason why Paul had to go through this. Because this is the response that, you know, Paul gets when he goes to the Lord trying to get it removed. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, that's what Christ responded with to him when he was, you know, seeking for it to be removed. And you see that sometimes we ought to go through the difficult challenges, because what it's going to do is it's going to make us grow closer to Christ. Because, you know, it says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that my strength right there isn't our human strength. It isn't what's in us that gets rid of our weaknesses and makes, you know, those weaknesses complete. But it's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, when we go through those challenges, it is because we have to, you know, start to learn to depend on the Lord and depend on His strength for those weaknesses that we have. because his strength will make us complete and be enough for us in our weaknesses that we face and those things that we go through. And you really start to realize that, you know, Paul was human. Paul had to endure through this. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, you know, this always brings me back to Matthew 13. So this is would be the parable of the sower. And he sows, you know, he sows into different kinds of grounds. And the one this always makes me think of, or I guess, you know, I guess Paul's options more. And, you know, Matthew 13:5 says, "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." And, you know, Christ explains exactly what he meant by this later down in verse 21. Well, verse 20 would actually start it. My bad. But it says, "But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." And, you know, tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just like Job. We get challenged. We go through challenges because that is, you know, God trying our faith, God proving that we can still be faithful despite those challenges. And, you know, you see, you know, Christ described as one of these seeds that basically was a seed that could not endure. And it was a seed that, you know, basically said, "Well, you know, I'll work for Christ when it's easy. But, you know, when the challenge comes, I'm done. The sun's going to scorch me up and all the fruit, all the seed, everything that seed produced is gone." And, you know, that's one of the challenges that I think we have is, you know, we don't endure. You know, it's so easy for us to say, you know, despite, because I feel like one of the things that's very tempting sometimes is, you know, we don't go to church just this one time because, you know, it gives us more time to do something else that we've been needing to get done. And you see, we start because of all of, you know, for me, it's a lot of college student working and sermon preparing. It's a lot of, you know, challenge. You know, it's a lot of challenge because I got to do all these things at once. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you lose the first priorities. And, you know, I struggle with that quite a bit, always keeping, you know, on top of my sermon studies, Sunday school studies, personal prayer, reading my Bible, like all those things that I do to help me grow closer to Jesus. And sometimes, you know, I see one little challenge, you know, something I'm trying to get done with schoolwork, and it just, you know, makes me not endure in these things and be prepared for that. And it causes me to go wayside so quick. And, you know, and I feel like we all have those moments where, you know, we're working for Christ, but then there's just that moment where we just feel like we slip and we just feel like we're not enduring well. And I think one of the things is we got to reset the priorities. We got to reset God first and, you know, let everything else follow. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves that, you know, it's God first, and, you know, God will take care of everything else. Or God will take care of the rest of those responsibilities, get everything, and it's going to be all right for those. Because, you know, for me, it's whenever I set, you know, God first, then it's all those other responsibilities, the schoolwork, all that stuff getting done, it gets taken care of. Or it gets taken care of for the most part where I pass my classes, so that's good enough. But that's good enough for me. At least, you know, I'm making it through. And, you know, if I try to skip the first priority, you know, it's not, you know, me spiritually is not doing right. It's not going to feel good for me spiritually at all. There's going to feel something, you know, missing. I'm not doing something. And, you know, it's going to be very strong conviction because I'm not following the way God wants me to follow. And it's going to lead straight to, for me, that conviction, if I'm not dealing with it, leads usually to, like, more anger, I would say. Or, you know, leads me to do more dumber decisions. But when we set those priorities, I think, straight, when we set God first, you know, the rest of the things start to take care of itself, and, you know, God helps us to get through those. Yeah. And that's, you know, God really does take care of us, and it's something to be grateful about. But, you know, we're going to have those moments. We may not be like that seed that, you know, gets all burnt up, you know, just is done. You know, we are going to have moments, even the fruitful seeds, you know, are going to have moments where they fall. But it's matter of fact, when we fall, when we have those tribulations, when we have those things that are thorns in our flesh, if we endure through it.
Yeah. Amen.
And, you know, the last thing I want to look at is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. You know, Paul had a challenge to face in his life. He had a thorn in his flesh, and also all the other things that he had to face in his life. You know, something that he tried to remove, you know, God told him, you know, you're going to be using my grace is enough for you. And my strength is going to make perfect what your weakness, what you lack. It's, you know, God is telling Paul to rely on his strength. And then, you know, you see, you know, Paul wrote that letter to the church of Corinth first, and then later on in his life, he wrote this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing."
Amen.
And you think about that. You know, God told Paul back in 2 Corinthians that his grace would be sufficient. And because Christ's grace was sufficient enough for Paul, and his strength and God's strength made perfect in his weakness, Paul was able to endure.
Amen.
Paul was able to endure
right.
All those hard times, all those difficulties, and make it through to the end, to the end of his course. And I think this just tells us how faithful God really is to us.
Amen.
You know, despite all the challenges we face, you know, despite all the fallings that we face from those challenges, you know, God is right there, still faithful to us, not leaving us nor forsaking us, but he's still faithful.
Amen.
And, you know, I guess that 1 John 1:9 always stands out to me. If we confess our sins,
yeah,
he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, yeah, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, it's that faithful and just that always stands out to me. And, you know, God is faithful to forgive us our sins and our unrighteousness, just like he did Paul back on the road to Damascus, and he's still faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness today. You know, And God is faithful to us to keep us in those trials, in those hardships, because Paul had to face a life that had a hardship, that had a challenge. And you know, we all have to face our challenges in our life too. We all have to face those trials that just feel so overwhelming, so much, you know. He described it as a thorn in his flesh to the point, and that thorn in the flesh was irritating him so much. It was so difficult on him, and it made him feel super weak and defeated. And just like us, sometimes, you know, we will feel, you know, so weak, so done, so defeated, but sometimes we have to remind ourselves that God's grace is sufficient for us. Amen. And God's grace, amen, is enough to get us through from that difficulty and get us to the end of our walk on this earth, to the point that we can even say, if we stay faithful and remain faithful to God and remain obedient, that we could also be able to say, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith.
Amen.
Because the only way we're also going to be able to say that is if we endured throughout the trial. If we endured throughout those trials, all those difficult times that we faced in our life. And I just look at this, and you know, the last part that Paul reminds of is, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only.
Yeah.
It wasn't only going to be Paul.
Amen.
But unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen.
And those that receive it are going to be the ones that believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And that, you know, have a genuine relationship with him because they love the Lord. And we just, you know, despite, you know, all the difficulties, I'm sure we can all name, you know, different trials we're going through, different difficulties that we're facing in our life. You know, all those things that, you know, make us, you know, sometimes, or we can even look at a point in our life where we were like, felt so weak. We felt like, Lord, just remove this. Lord, I don't want to deal with this no more. Just take it out.
Yeah.
And you know, the Lord doesn't always say yes to that, because he didn't say yes to Paul right there.
Yeah.
He told him, you know, you're going to have to endure it, but you're not alone in it. My grace will be enough for you, and God's strength will take care of that weakness. And you know, sometimes we get to those moments, even we're feeling that moment now, where the thorn feels like it's too much for us.
Yeah.
But just a reminder, Paul made it through because of how God's grace was sufficient for him. And because of that, I believe that us too can make it through to the end, because God will always be faithful to us, just like he was faithful to Paul. And, you know, I guess just in closing, you know, there's some moments where it's just, you know, where we feel, I guess we just feel so challenged with, you know, different things that we go through. And, you know, I guess I was just kind of just sitting down, feeling that challenge, feeling that overwhelm. And, you know, this is kind of, you know, I just kind of started thinking about, you know, this passage. And I started thinking about it, kind of, you know, dwelt on my mind. Then I started realizing, you know, what happened in that middle, the Corinthians passage, but what happened later on. And, you know, I looked at that, and, you know, you only see God's faithfulness. And, you know, despite, you know, those challenges I may feel right now, those emotions I may feel, you know, despite all those things that, you know, make me sometimes want to be like, you know, maybe just, you know, quit, just give up, you know, those challenges. And it's just to remind ourselves, you know, where we feel weak at, you know, God's strength is enough for us to get through that.
Yeah.
And you look at just like Paul, who had a point where he felt weak, where he just wanted that problem gone because he didn't think about it. It was a chance for him to grow closer. And just like that, and then you see it at the end. God was enough. God took care of it and got him to the end of the race.
Amen. You know, when I see that passage in 2 Timothy 4, just two verses down from verse 8, it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica." If you go a few pages over at the end of Philemon, in verse 24, "Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers." So Philemon was written before 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is one of the last ones Paul wrote. And you see Demas went from a fellow laborer to a deserter. You know, you see that. And because, like Bob was saying tonight, you know, Paul was able to say, "I fought the good fight. I have finished the course, my course. I have kept the faith." And that's what I want to do. I want to finish. You know, you see, Mark started off, abandoned the mission trip, you know, and Paul didn't want to work with him. But then in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." He figured it out that whatever caused him to leave that first mission trip, he figured it out and said, "You know what? I'm sticking with the Lord. I'm not wavering. I'm not putting things in front. I'm finishing," right? Demas is the opposite. We got two examples right there at the end of the passage. I want to be like Paul. I want to finish. And I don't think there's a whole lot of time left. So we got to think about finishing.
Yeah.
Not just how we start, because the start's very important. But after you've started, how are we going to finish? Let's get a...